We were talking about the incredible promise that God has for us, that whatever we ask for in prayer, whatever we ask, like if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, it'll be done for you. Like Jesus was saying to the disciples, you know, basically, why are you surprised at that fig tree dying when I told it to die? He says, he was telling us that this same authority that he's walking in, that he was walking in on the earth, is available to us. Very same authority. That when we speak, we can see things happen because God has given us his authority. Who believes that? That's something to get your head around, really. This promise, look what it says. Hang on. It says, have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Like, that's the Bible. It says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. And it's an amazing promise. Like, this is the authority we are called to walk in. So when you speak, something happens. Who wants to walk in that sort of authority? Oh, yeah, me. Who believes it's available to any believer? Who's walking in it? Yeah. I like this place. It's true. But, you know, God wants to increase it and enlarge it. He wants it. That's why we're so blessed to live today. Because the church is waking up and beginning to realize, beginning to see what's available, the authority, the power that's available, so that the kingdom of God is advancing quickly, because it's not just left up to a few people in the pulpit, it's the people all over the earth, the body of Christ arising and going greater work, doing greater works than he did on earth. It's easy to win the lost when it's being accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles. He never expected us to win them with persuasive words of men's wisdom, did he? But with demonstrations of the power of God. And it's a good day to be alive when the church, on their way to work, or in their workplaces, in the shopping centers, they're releasing the kingdom, seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. It's a good day to be alive. But as I was talking about that, we talked about just before Jesus says this, he cleansed the temple. And he got it and spoke to them and said, you know, those people who are just walking through the temple whenever they want to, however they want to. He was saying, just because it's acceptable to everybody else and it's been done for years and years and years, it's not acceptable. It's not okay to me. And he went to pains to make people understand, to make them understand that he was not going to put up with stuff that they didn't consider to be a big deal. Like if you look at it, I'm just recapping on this. If you look at it just before then, it says there that he overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, verse 16, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. You see, what's the big deal, Jesus? We knew that they were extorting money and doing all sorts of things they shouldn't be doing, but they were also just blithely just doing what had always been done or had been done for a long time. But I believe there's a move of the Holy Ghost coming with this awakening that is shaking people up. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken, and that people are beginning to wake up and realize, hang on, just because it's been done forever, it's acceptable everywhere else, just because the culture says it's okay, it's not okay. And what happens is that it's a grace blocker. It's something that stops the full flow of the power and the authority of Jesus working through you, because we're called to be holy conduit. Who knows what conduit is? It's like electrical tube power through which... Sean could probably tell us, he's an electrician. The power of God flows like a hose attached to the pipe, attached to the source and flowing out on earth. If there's a blockage in it It doesn't flow effectively. And holding on to stuff and mindsets and ways of doing things just because it's culturally acceptable but it is not acceptable to God will block the flow of the anointing and the flow of the grace of God. And then immediately after he says this promise, he says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, verse 24, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. I mean, that's a wonder. You want to know people who walk in this authority. You want to hang around them. It's good. And immediately after that it says, and when you stand praying, so when you're doing your asking and receiving, be very careful. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. He speaks of another potential grace blocker, a potential power and authority blocker. And I don't want any blockages in my life. I want to walk in the fullness of that promise. I want to, I speak and stuff happens. Amen? Whatever I ask, because I'm crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Me and God, like this. I'm listening and leaning on the heart of the Father, and when he speaks, I speak, stuff happens. And when you start to experience that, it's addictive. It's like you figure out, this is what I was made for. I don't want anything else. It's worth it. And then I went to pray today. I said, Lord, give me a word. Lord, what's the word today? I spent a lot of time, I like to spend a lot of time just in worship and in the presence of God for myself. If you've ever been on an aeroplane and they talk about if the breathing stuff falls down, never has, praise God, but if the breathing stuff falls down, they say, put your own mask on first and then help others. And they make a real point of it. I used to think that's pretty selfish, but there's sense in their reasoning. It's because you can't help anybody if you are unconscious. And you know, I can't help anybody until I first get my daily download. I was in America in March with David and Carolyn, and we were ministering, and the pastor came over to see me. I was heading off to another place, and he said, I didn't want to come too early because I know you go for your walk and you talk with God. And he said, so are you ready for tonight? You got your message for tonight? And I said, no, I've got a few hours to set aside this afternoon when we get to the next place, so I'm going to do that. He said, but haven't you just been for your walk? And I said, oh yeah, but that was for me. And I can't. I can't go getting a message for somebody else if I haven't first got filled up myself. Otherwise I'm running on empty. If you're just studying or you're just, you know, seeking God just to minister, you'll run out of gas and out of puff pretty quick. It's just not a good way. And when you start to taste of the heavenly realm, it's like, oh God, I just love this place. I don't want to leave. And he loves it too. And you know, the more time you spend, you can never waste time in his presence. The more time you spend in the presence of God, the more he's sorting everything out for you. Amen. Anyway, so I said, Lord, what do you want to do today? Hallelujah. And he spoke to me a couple of scriptures. Praise God. Shalapapapuramahata. Thank you, Father. It was Hebrews, actually, to start with. I appreciate God's help. Thank you, Father. Speak to us, Lord. Hebrews 12, and I got all excited. I thought, oh, that's close to like the faith thing. Good stuff, God. That'll preach well. I opened up chapter 12, and God disciplines his sons. I went, nah, God, not a good idea. I don't want to talk about that. But God's smart, hey? Have a look at this. It talks about in Hebrews 11, verse 39, it has just talked about all the incredible people that had seen the amazing things. Actually, we can go back and just read about it. Verse 32, what more shall I say? This is in chapter 11. I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together we would, with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a day we live in. We live in the day where it's all available, where we are called to walk in the authority of Jesus on the earth. Like you, me. The authority that Jesus walked with on the earth, you had no doubt if he spoke, something would happen. That's the gift that he has given to us. He said, it's true. Is that true? Anybody else agree with me there? It's the Bible. And it's a mind-boggling, wonderful thought. This is the day, the promise that we, as the bride of Christ, get to administer and release the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We get to declare it. This is what Jesus said to Peter. So whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We have the authority that Jesus walked in. If we will come to him and we will be careful to throw off anything that would try and entangle us or keep us from running the race set before us. It's like, you know, God has laid up good works in advance for us to do. He's already set it out, laid it out for us. Do you believe that? Every day, God has laid up good works. He's marked out a race. Let us run the race, marked out for us. He's set and laid out a destiny, a plan, a purpose for your life. And the enemy's scared. The only way he can stop this army going out, doing the works of God, actually feeling and knowing, hey, I am free. I am free. I am loved by God. As Christ is, so am I in this world. Shabbatahahasa, what are we going to do? I mean, the enemy's eyes get big and go, yeah, do something. The only thing he can do, though, the only thing he can do is deceive you. It's the only thing. He can't touch you. You're the apple of God's eye. He can't. Nothing shall by any means harm you. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. Any curse brought against you, it can't touch you. Do you believe that? So the only thing that the enemy can do is deceive you. So he comes and he says, everybody else is doing it. It's okay. Look, you deserve some R&R. God loves R&R, rest and relaxation, but you know, he talks and shows us how even to rest and to enjoy life. He came to give us life and life more abundant. I tell you, when you find true joy, when you find the joy of waking up knowing that you've been dreaming about healing the sick. I woke up that way this morning. I was like, oh, that was a good dream, God. Feeling and knowing the power. Oh, I love that feeling when the power gets released through you. I was dreaming about it. Because that's what God's doing now. Is that I can sense so many times now when I pray, I can feel the release of the power. It's like, oh, yeah. It's what I'm born for. It's what I'm made for. And when I'm thinking about these things, dwelling on these things, life is good. That's what I'm meant for. But if the enemy can start to convince you, just come and let me fill your mind with this for a little while. It's okay to watch that. It's okay to do that. You deserve some downtime. You don't have to have any downtime, actually. That's right. You can rest in his presence. God, you know, God's not after a whole bunch of... I used to think if I truly, fully gave my life to Christ, my life would be boring and I'd have to pray all the time. And I had no understanding. I didn't realize that when you fully give your life to Christ, he's smarter than us. And he knows exactly how to make me happy. He knows what I will enjoy more than I will. I do. And he blesses our family. He blesses my life. But the enemy likes to come in and say, you know, it's okay. You know, you're not really doing anything wrong. You're not hurting anybody. But you know, if you're the head of a household, you think you're not hurting anybody. You're looking at some things that maybe you shouldn't look at. While you're looking at that stuff, you're not protecting and guarding your family like you're called to do. The enemy gets a little gap that he can come in and... If you're a mom and you just start to decide, I deserve to have a bit of a pity party. You're teaching your kids that it's okay to whine and whinge. As you're teaching your kids what to do when you get frustrated. You might think you're not hurting anybody. This isn't really serious sin. Just carrying merchandise through the temple court. It's not a big deal. But you know what? It's a grace blocker. I so don't want any grace blockers in my life. Nothing. I am born to do greater works than Jesus did. God has laid up these works in advance for me. I don't want to waste another day, another minute without walking in the fullness of all he's planned. Look, I've seen people get healed of cancer, deaf ears open, blind eyes open. And... It's so much better than a movie that might try and get my attention. You know, I'm not against going to the movies or doing something, but you know, I am against stuff that will grab hold of your attention and cause you to go to sleep thinking about stuff. The closer I get to God, the less I seem to be able to do that seemed to be normal before. But you know what? It's not a pain. It's not anything. It's just... My life just gets better and better. It goes from glory to glory and strength to strength. Sure, I have persecutions, but then God's able to turn that around. And I've even seen people who've been against me come and seek my favor. Because he's a good God. If God's for you, you choose to walk with God. I'm telling you now, this is my testimony. You can't lose. You can't lose. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? It's a good life. Amen? All right, quickly then, the next scripture that I had was Matthew 11. I was saying, God, if that's really you, confirm it, confirm it, confirm it. And he did. Matthew 11. Actually, I didn't say that. I just expected it. By now, I just expect he'll do that. And he does. Matthew 11, verse 25. Hallelujah. Actually, we'll go down to verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the scripture that we read just before, if you read through that passage, and be worth going home and looking at it, was talking about the discipline of God. And just like Alex said, you know, no discipline at the time is pleasant, but God chastises those he loves. And the discipline that God has for us is his yoke that he puts upon us. He says, come to me. If you're heavy, you're weary, you're heavy laden, come to me and take my yoke upon you. Do you know what a yoke is? A yoke's like in the bullock trains. They'd have put a wooden yoke around the bull's necks, and so that they would all march together and that they'd go ahead and they wouldn't go off and do their own thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? But he does say here, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy. And my burden is light, but it is still a yoke. It's a discipline. It's like these Olympic athletes who win the gold medal. You know, they have to go through something that's not pleasant. They have to get up early in the morning, go training when it's cold. But they take a hold of that discipline, that yoke that they choose willingly to lay hold of in order to get the prize. Same thing. God says, hey, do yourself a favor. Give up and die quick. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy, he says. It's easy, and you'll walk in the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the authority of Jesus. But if you decide that you want to have a fight, say, God, I want the miracles, but I want my own way, it's going to be painful. And you're going to bump your neck against it, and you're going to fret. I tell you, passionate people die hard. It's ugly. I know. I speak from experience. It's much better just to give up quick. Kill me quick. So I wake up in the mornings, I go, yes, God, here I am. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am yours. I'm bought with a price. My life is no longer my own. As Christ is, so am I in this world. Lord, I'm yours. Here I am, and I thank you. You've got good works laid up in advance for me today. I thank you that your blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness. If there's anything blocking you, anything that's displeasing or grieving to your spirit, speak to me, God, that I might repent and receive freedom. Father, for I thank you that I have a clean conscience now because of your blood. And you know, it's not just a whole bunch of words. It's a cry from a heart that's desperate, that knows without that, total reliance on God, it's not going to be a good day. It'll be a shallow, unhappy day. Even though I might think I'm happy, my spirit will be grieving for the air that I'm supposed to breathe. Longing for, panting like a deer pants for water. It's a shallow existence. If you think that money or people or a husband or a wife are going to make you happy. My poor husband, my darling husband, he's just taken the kids. He. When I first got married, I thought that he was my knight in shining armor and that he was going to meet all of my needs, every single emotional one. That is so not fair to do to anybody. Because even the very best person in the world, and I think I got him, could not ever come close to filling the enormous vacuum that was in my life. I am made so nobody else can truly satisfy my need for love. It's true. I read that lovely book, 5 Languages of Love. Fantastic book, really good. But there is one thing it says, it talks about filling your love tank, keeping the love tank topped up. I'm like, he couldn't if he tried. My love tank is so bottomless. You know, it just wouldn't work. I've got to get my love tank filled up with God and let everything else be the icing on the cake. Otherwise, I'll never be happy and I'll always be unhappy. You're not loving me enough. God got that. God got me, and he helped me understand that. And when I finally understood that God is designed to meet all my emotional needs, that God wants to be the lover of my soul, it released Tom just to be free, just to be lovely, instead of thinking everything he was doing was trying to fill this bottomless pit. Anyway, I don't know why I went there, but somebody obviously needs to hear that. He says here, come to me all you who are weary and burdened and I will give you rest. For I'm take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a rest of faith where there is a nice place to be when you have a clean conscience. It is a very good place to be, a place where you just, God putting his finger on something, you might say, oh God, is there anything? And quickly something he'll bring to the mind and you'll go, oh no, I don't need to do that. No, that's all right. But you won't find rest. You won't find rest until you give up kicking against the pricks. Until you give up and go, okay, yeah, let's do that. I've had to do some weird things. Like when I left teaching at Newmarket High, I had a recipe book that I accidentally found a few months later in my bookcase. And every time I'd look at this recipe book, because I shared a staff room with the home ec people. I was a music teacher. And every time I'd see that thing in the bookcase, I'd feel... So I had to pick it up, take it back to the school, and give it to them. I mean, because you might think that's ridiculous, silly little things, but it's not silly to God. It's not silly to God. You know, the kids might open that up several years later and go, Newmarket High. Mom? Oh, it's nothing. It's no big deal. You see, God's smart and he knows. And he's after your heart. He wants to train you. He wants to discipline you. He wants you to be totally free from all condemnation, from all guilt. But you can't get free from condemnation until you actually repent. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, but there is guilt, and guilt will hassle you until you give up. Do you think they still love me? Hallelujah. No, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to tell you anyway. You'll love me soon. You'll come into a place of rest. And you go, oh. You can wake up in the morning and you go, I'm free. But you take care, of course, when you think you stand lest you fall. You're continually relying on God, knowing, God, I need you. I need you to convict me. I need you to speak me. I need you to keep me. I come willingly and place your yoke upon me today, God. I willingly, because I know I'm much safer doing your way. Your way is best. I want your way. Teach me your ways. He says, the humble, he will teach his ways. If you're not humble, you won't take the yoke of God upon you. But if you're humble, you'll say, God, yep, give up my idea. You be the driver. And I'll have his way. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So if you're finding the discipline of God, the pricks and the hassles, that you feel like, God, why are you hassling me about that issue? Why do I have to apologize to that person? They should apologize to me. Yeah, just do it. Just do it. I do strange stuff because I'd rather do something, even if it's not God, just in case it is, so that I don't miss it. I don't want anything to stand in the way of the flow of his glory revealed on earth as it is in heaven. I wish you could see what I can see right now. The potential, the call, the releasing of the saints to go and do the work of the ministry. Like, imagine all of you this week. Imagine all of you walking in the authority of Jesus. Oh! People would ring you up. They would seek you out. Please come and play for my child. I know when you ask. I know when you ask, you receive. I've seen it. I've heard about it. Please come and pray for this person. This person's just died. Can you please come? I know who to call, one of those Christians, because whenever they ask. But it doesn't mean we're free agents either. What it means is we're bought with a price. Yes. We're listening to the voice of God. You tell me, Lord, what do you want to do today? And then he'll do it. He'll bring them to you. He'll show you what to do. Jesus says, I only do what I saw my Father doing. There were a lot of people sick in his day. He healed everyone that came to him. But he didn't go out and heal every single person in the land. Could have. But he didn't. He only did what he saw his father doing. He healed those who came to him, who had an open heart toward him. And God will put you in the right place at the right time. He'll show you what to do. He'll use you to demonstrate the glory of God, to set the captives free, to set the demoniacs free. It's good to be working for God. I don't just work for him. I'm actually his bride.
Me too.
And I like being married to him. And you know, he's a gentle and kind husband, a good God. He doesn't force me to do anything. If I just decide I'm not going to live in his house today, he's not going to come and rail abuse at me. He's just going to let me go. If I want to do my own thing, he's like, whatever, doll, go and do it. But if I come to him and go, hey, what's your thoughts today? He'll say, well, thought we might go and heal that person of cancer today. What do you reckon? Oh, yeah. That sounds better than the pizza and a DVD. I like your plan. Let's do your thing. Oh, shakama. Lord, let him get it. Thank you, Daddy. Father, we thank you now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, hope, or imagine. To you be glory in the church, Jesus. Lord, we honor you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is given to us that we might hear his voice, that we might walk in the power of God. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. He also said that unless you lose your life for my sake, you'll never find it. That means coming to a place of decision where you go, I choose to give the control of my life over to the Lord. I choose to make him the Lord of my life. I choose to give up and let him be the Lord. I choose to surrender my life. And he says, if you will give your life to him, he'll give you his life, eternal life. New life. You become a new creature, made out of completely new substance. You become made the same substance of God. You become a new creation in Christ. As Christ is, you become part of his body. No longer who you were, but you become a new person, born again by the Spirit of God, totally new. Is there anybody here tonight that says, I want to do that. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to become a new person. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to give my life to Christ. Is anybody here? If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you right now. Is anybody here that says, that's me tonight? I want to make that stand. I want to follow Jesus. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to take his yoke on and I want to follow him. I want to give my life to Christ. Is anybody here tonight?